If you have your Bible, let's turn to Matthew 20. Matthew chapter 20. I would like to challenge you from Matthew 20, starting right there. And in a couple minutes, we'll be down in verse 26, 7, and 8. I'd like to talk to you about being the greatest whatever you are, 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old. And I want to talk about servanthood this evening. And then I'd like to go beyond just the concept into what we can do. And I want to show you the greatest servant and what the greatest servant did as his final parting act. Now, some of you got the email and read it, so you don't need to worry about it. You already caught this. But the last thing Jesus did is one of the most astounding things in the Bible. And I want to share it with you. Starting in chapter 20, verse 26 on, "Yet it shall not be among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant." Did you know it's okay to want to be great? Just be great God's way. And God's way, up is down. The way to the front of the line is to go to the what? Do we do that? No. The Lord said, if you want to be great, let him be your servant. Verse 27, "And whoever desires to be first among you." And you know, you should want to be first. Our whole world wants to be first. They just want to be first the wrong way. They want to be first by kicking and climbing over every single person they can climb over, and there's just a trail of trampled people in their wake. But the Lord says, if you want to be first, let him be your slave. A slave is a person who does the will of another. That's something all of us resist. Don't you dislike it when someone starts telling you what to do? Why don't you do this? Why don't you sit over there? Why don't you put this? Why don't you do that? You know, pick up, clean up, you know, whatever. It's just inside of us. We were born with this kind of repulsing that telling us what to do. But the Lord says, if you want to be first, let him be your slave. And here's the example. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life," and you know the rest, "a ransom for many." So Jesus keeps talking. The next one's in chapter 23. Now I hope you have these marked. These are a couple of my favorite passages that dominate how I look on life. Matthew 23, starting in verse 10. And Jesus tells a story about the servants going out and gathering in together, and he fills the hall with guests. And then he says, let's get down to 11. "But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant." Verse 12. "And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted." Jesus says basically the same thing in both places. He says the way to be great in his sight, the way to be great for what matters forever, is to be a slave or to be a servant. Now, go to Acts chapter 1. I want to show you the ending, the parting moment, Acts chapter 1, when Jesus is leaving. Because if Jesus says that the servants of God are those who do what Jesus said and seek to be the servant of the most like he was. They're basically trying to be like Christ. Let's watch Jesus as he's departing. In Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 8, he gives them what we love to talk about, this mission statement, "But you shall be my witnesses," at the end of verse 8, "in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, so Jesus has given this great go out and be witnesses, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And did you know, for most of my life, that was my parting Jesus departure time. It wasn't until I started studying what Jesus did as a servant, and that's what we're going to be looking at this weekend, how we can serve, no matter what our age, whether you're the 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12s, or 50-plus-year-olds. Because if you turn back, now go back to the book of Luke. I want to show you the other account of Christ's ascension. It's the same event. It's in Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 50. Because Jesus is saying, if you want to be great, in other words, if you want to be a great husband, be a servant, the greatest servant. If you want to be a great wife, be the greatest servant. If you want to be a great mother, be the greatest servant. If you want to be a great father, I know a lot of people, especially when they get to be my age, they're just all worried about, you know, have they done it right, and they do it harder, and they just, and kids, you want to be the greatest young person? Be the greatest servant. So the greatest servant was Jesus Christ. What did he do? Well, this is astounding. Now, some of you may never have seen this. Starting in verse 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. This is Jesus saying goodbye to his disciples. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Now this is the exact same event. It's just Luke records, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And Jesus said all that. But after he said all that, after he was all done commissioning them to go out, verse 51, and it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Now, just imagine, I was telling the staff Tuesday, Mel Gibson left this out in the Passion. They didn't have the Ascension. And I can just see Jesus standing there out beyond Bethany. He's on top of the Mount of Olives, and he's there, and the disciples know what's happening, and they're sorrowing because he says he's going back to heaven, and he's talking to them, and he commissions them to go into all the world and tells them Jerusalem, which they're in, and Judea surrounding it, and Samaria and the othermost parts. And then all of a sudden it says, verse 50, that he lifted up his hands. So he reaches out, and that word could be that he put his hands over them, that he put his hands like over their heads. He lifted them up. It isn't real clear what he did with them, but it is clear what he did. He began to bless them. And as he's blessing them, he starts ascending, and as he is blessing them, as his words are coming out of his mouth, kind of like raining down on them, the last thing that they remember and that they saw and that they heard as they looked up. And Acts 1 tells us that they were all looking up at him as he went up into the clouds. And then the angels show up and say, he's coming back. But what's the last thing Jesus did? From Luke 24, 50 and 51. Did you catch what he was doing? What is the very last thing Jesus does on earth before he goes to heaven? He blesses his disciples. That's a fascinating thought to think about. That the last thing the disciples remember of Jesus Christ is almost like a shower coming down on them of his words of blessing coming down as he rises up out of sight. Now let me just ask you, do those that know you think of you as showering them with blessings, with your words? Have you showered your wife lately with any blessings? Have you showered your children? Is that, if your kids, if we brought them up to the microphone and said, what kind of showers of words does your dad give you? Does your mom give you? Would it be showers of what? Blessings? Did you know we get a privilege to do something with our mouths? It says in Proverbs 31, a woman is to be characterized by having the law of what on her tongue? Kindness. Have you ever read that verse? It says that the godly woman has the law of kindness on her mouth. It's almost, her mouth just only makes kind words come out. That's the Proverbs 31. And so all of us fall short of that, right? We all give different kinds of showers. But if you want to be a servant of the Lord, then we should be like Christ. He was the greatest example to us. And Jesus went around. Now, let's do a little study of everything Jesus did. I'm going to show you all the blessings in the New Testament. Start in Mark 10 with me real quickly. Mark chapter 10 and verse 16. And I want to show you a little bit about Jesus and how he blessed people. As you're turning to Mark chapter 10 and verse 16, let me define for you. I brought a page out of my Greek dictionary. And I clipped it and brought it. Got it right here. The word bless, look at verse 16. And he took them up in his arms and he laid his hands on them and what? What does your Bible say? Blessed. Okay, say it again. He what?
Blessed.
Okay, blessed. You all heard that word. You've all heard bless. Here's what it is. I've got it clipped right out of the dictionary. Bless, used 44 times in the New Testament. It's a verb. The verb is eulogeo. Eu means good and logeo means to speak. So basically, if you just took the word apart, deconstructed it, it would be good speaking. But this is what the Greek dictionary says it means. To praise, to celebrate with praises, to invoke blessings and consecrate with solemn prayers, to ask God's blessing, to cause to prosper, to make happy, to bestow blessings and favor from God. There's the Greek dictionary. Now what I did is, this week, and I've already practiced this on the church staff on Tuesday, I just added one thing all the way through. I added your loved ones. So I'm talking to all of you, because we're families, and I'm talking about either you as father to your family, or as mother to your family, or as a couple to your family, or as children to your parents and your brothers and sisters. So it doesn't matter what piece of this you are. Just put loved ones. You can call your family your loved ones. To praise your loved ones. That's what bless means. To celebrate them with praises. Invoking God's blessings and consecrating your loved ones with solemn prayers that ask God's blessing on your loved ones. I just keep putting your family, your loved ones in there. And causing them to prosper and make them happy and bestowing blessings that they be favored by God. So do you know what blessing means? It means to ask for God or to offer to someone praises and encouraging words and asking God's favor to come upon them. Now, Jesus, when he did this, look how he does it. In chapter 10 of the book of Mark, in verse 16, it says this, and he took them, who are these? The little children, up in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them. So the first thing that you see that's recorded in the usage of blessing in the New Testament is blessing often involves what? Touching. What does Jesus do? He doesn't just go to the babies and say, bless you, Reggie. Bless you, Chris, you know. Bless you, whoever. Camille. But Jesus didn't just say, bless you, Natalie. He said, bless you. And what did he do? He put his hands on them. In the New Testament, Jesus is constantly touching people. Eight times in the Gospel by Mark, Jesus touches people. That leper, he didn't need to touch him. He could have just said, clean. It says that he reached out and touched him. And as he touched him, he said, be cleansed. So blessing often involves touching. Look at Luke. Keep going to the next book, Luke chapter 2. I want to show you the second time blessings in the New Testament. Luke 2 and verse 34. Because blessing not only involves touching and saying things that are encouraging, asking the Lord's blessing on their life, praising them for something you see in their life. Secondly, blessing often points to the future. This is amazing. This is Simeon. In Luke 2:34, then Simeon blessed them, that's Mary and Joseph, bringing Jesus to the temple, and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel for a sign of things to be spoken against. And he starts talking about the great future ministry Christ is going to have. It's interesting, if you look at each of the 44 times blessing is in the Bible, it's often associated with touching. What does Simeon do? He takes this baby up into his arms. Baby Jesus. I mean, what a highlight to get to hold baby Jesus. And then he starts blessing him. It doesn't mean that Simon or Simeon had some power that he was going on Jesus. It meant he was bestowing on him the greatest desires of his heart for this baby to be great for God. And, of course, we know he turned out. Okay, look at Luke chapter 6, verse 28. Now, this is the hard one. And keep turning with these and jot them down because, you know, I would encourage you to do a little study on blessing. In fact, we're going to have a little practice run on this tonight. Now, for some of you that need warning, I'm going to ask all the men, okay? So some of you are going to have to, some of you ate too much and you're starting to fade. When I give you your assignment, if you haven't been listening, you might miss it, okay? So listen carefully. You're going to do this tonight. We're going to practice run on this, okay? So we're going to have the last 5 minutes of you, husbands and men, blessing your family members. So listen carefully so you don't miss how to do it. Look at Luke 6:28. Blessing often involves touching, Mark 10:16. It often points to the future and something good happening. Luke 6:28, blessing is usually hard, but it's always rewarding. Look what that verse says. Bless those who curse you. When's the last time you had someone curse you? Might not have been that long ago. How many of you said, God bless you. Oh, may he provoke great favor upon you. May he heap praises upon you. That is not what we say. We go, send them to hell. You know what I mean? Now, you don't say that out loud, but we think they're lost and that's what they deserve, right? That's our human response. Why did the early church get so far? Because when people were cursing them, what did Jesus tell them to do? Bless them. Now, let me read that definition again. We're using the same word here. This bless is the word, eulogeo. And it means to, this is what you're supposed to do to your enemies. Praise, celebrate them with praises, invoking God's blessing. Now remember when the disciples got a little, one city rejected them? They said, can we call down what? Fire from heaven. Oh, we're so much like the disciples, aren't we? Someone bothers us, and we're ready to call down fire. And Jesus said, you guys, you sons of thunder, you don't know what you're saying. Because I say to you, look at Luke 6:28, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. And don't pray down hellfire and brimstone. Pray for God to bless them with the knowledge of the gospel, to come to the knowledge of the truth, for them to see the love of Christ and to be melted by it. Amazing. So thirdly, blessing is usually hard, but always rewarding. Then back to Luke 24. We're going to just keep going to the right. Look at Luke 24, where we started. Blessing fourthly, Jesus ends his earthly ministry with the most vivid memory of blessing for his disciples. Verse 50, he led them out to Bethany. He lifted his hands, and he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was carried up into heaven. And look what verse 52 says. It says, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And verse 53, and were continually in the temple praising. And you know what the Western text, the New King James and King James has? And blessing. They picked it up. They went into the temple praising God and blessing. They were so full of joy. Keep going to the right to Romans 12:14. Same word. All we're doing is a word study on one word. It's one of the funnest things to do in the Bible is track every time God uses a word. Because God picked all the words in the Bible. They're supernaturally engineered. It says in Romans 12:14, Paul's repeating what Jesus said. Lest we miss it, Paul repeats the habit of blessing as a part of Christ's church mandate. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not, what? Curse. Curse is an audible thing. So is bless. It appears all the way through the Bible that cursing and blessing are kind of like two ends of the same thing. Either you're invoking God's damnation and judgment, or you're invoking God's blessing and favor. But it's kind of the same thing. It's a verbal calling for God to do something, positive or negative. Keep going to the right to 1 Corinthians 14. It appears in 1 Corinthians 14 that one of the manifestations of the Spirit of God had to do with blessing. It says in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 16 that there was a spirit-prompted work of blessing in the early church services. And it says this, verse 16, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he doesn't understand what you say? So there seemed to be some kind of spiritual gift of blessing of these people. That's all they did. They were just blessing and blessing and blessing. Now keep going to the right to Hebrews 11. There are 44 of these, but I just wanted to give you a smattering and get you all the way through. Hebrews 11, you all remember the parting work of the heroes of the faith, and especially in verse 20. It says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning what? Things to come. Remember, blessings often are touching. And you remember Isaac put his hands? Do you remember the whole Jacob and Esau and Jacob, tricked his dad, the whole thing. But his dad stretched out his hand and touched him. And he blessed him, and it involved his future. He says, you're gonna do well, son. You're going to have God's favor and blessing and all this. And on it went. Blessing, The heroes of the faith made it their last act to be like Christ and stretched out their hands and blessed those they loved. Look at verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. So this idea of blessing was a continuous thing we see with the patriarchs. Now back up to chapter 10 of Hebrews. Look at verse 24. And then we're going to get down to practical matters here. Part of the ministry we have in the church is we're supposed to do something with the other people around us. And we're supposed to do something that involves how we talk to them and what we say to them, because our words are very powerful. And it says this, and let us consider, Hebrews 10:24, one another, in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. So, tonight I want you to focus on one thing. The Bible says that we are supposed to, and this definition is, we are supposed to bless those that we love. Bless literally means to praise, to celebrate with praises those we love, to ask for God's blessing on our loved ones, to ask God's blessing on our loved ones to cause them to prosper, to make them happy, to bestow blessings that they be favored by God. I asked the staff this week, the church staff, there are 14 of us, we meet every Tuesday morning, all of the staff that serve you all at the church, we're all sitting there, and I said, I just have one question for you. How many of you ever remember your father standing up and looking you right in the eye and saying, Christy, you are a wonderful young lady. You are a beautiful young lady. You're a gifted young lady. I am so thankful for you. How many of you remember your father looking you right in the eye and saying that Anna, now I won't embarrass you because I know too much about you, and you know what? She's a sweetie. Her dad brags about her every day. You know what the staff said? None of them remember their fathers ever doing anything. Now, their fathers gave them presents and bicycles and whatever, but they never heard them audibly say, I think, Chris, you are going to be a great engineer someday, and you are going to be a great Awana leader. Now, of course, he wouldn't have known that. But you know what I mean? I mean, Marshall, you're good with numbers. I bet you're going to be a head of an accounting division of a great oil company someday. Do you know what I mean? No. We don't get that very much nowadays, do we? Let me tell you what happens in every Jewish home every Friday night. The New Testament world was a Jewish world. The Old Testament had a concept called the Aaronic blessing. It was the priest would every Sabbath say, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord cause his face to shine upon thee. You know that from Numbers chapter 6, that beautiful blessing. The people began to do that on Sabbath night at their homes. And so this is what happened in every Jewish home every Friday night. The mother would make this beautiful meal, have candles, the whole family would sit down, and the father would sit down. And then after everyone was seated, the father would stand up and he'd walk over and he would get behind the first child and he would put his hands on their shoulders, standing behind them, and he would pull out of his pocket. They didn't trust their memories. He would pull out a little piece of paper. And it's a tradition for the Jewish men to write out a blessing. Now, they usually use the same one. And he stands over the child, puts his hands on their shoulder, and says, may you be like, and he picks some Bible character, and may you be, and he picks the character of that person, and he says for his child that blessing, and then he prays over them. And then he goes to the next one, and he gives them this personal blessing every Friday night. Sociologists tell us that the closest family units in the world are the Jewish families. Even though they don't have Christ, they don't have the Spirit of God in them, they are some of the most tightly knit family units that we find in society. Do you know why? Because every child in a Jewish home has heard their own dad say, David, you have musical giftedness, and I believe you're going to use that for the Lord. Jake, ever since you were little, you've been plunking on that piano, and I think you're going to plunk on it for the Lord, and I think you're going to be a great worship leader. And they've heard every week of their life their dad say, I see great things for you. And I believe you're going to be a great whatever. Can you imagine what happens when you add the Lord to all that? Can you imagine the power of a father saying, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to be a part of your life, and I'm not just going to provide for you and get you clothes and foods and, you know, rollerblades and bicycles. I'm going to ask God to make you a great whatever. So, the second question I asked the staff, I said, how many of you women, we have quite a few ladies working at the church, I said, how many of you have ever had your husband say, just say, you are a great mother, you are the greatest wife, you are the most wonderful, compassionate, patient woman with me. You are a great teacher, if she is. Now, don't check the staff list, but you know what they said? Well, I guess he has. I don't know. I don't remember the last time he said anything like that to me. I said, oh, then when's the last time you told your husband that you are an incredible man of God? I just wrote something down. You say, well, what if my wife isn't that way? Well, did you know that every negative characteristic has a positive end to it? Have you ever thought about that? Did you know that an alert and sociable person can also be overly curious and nosy? It's the same thing. It's just which way it's directed. How about someone that's very sensitive? Do you know what the other end of being sensitive is? Being touchy. It's the same thing. It's just which side you're emphasizing. How about someone that's resourceful and creative? We could say they're also very manipulative. They use the situation. But which do you emphasize? Well, if you have a manipulative child, you say, you know, I see that you're very resourceful and creative. And they go, I am? Yeah, you are. You take each situation and you use it in a very unique way. I do? Yeah. And you know, there's a good way you can do that. You see, you can encourage them. You know what's interesting about this? Most people that have accomplished great things have not accomplished it by someone screaming and yelling like a drill sergeant at them. Do you know what happened to the Apostle Paul after he got saved? He was a hot potato. Nobody wanted him. And so one man by the name of what? Barnabas, who is called the son of what? Drill sergeant. The son of sharp tongue. No, what's he called? Encouragement. He said, you know, Paul, you have some great abilities. You are gifted of God, but you are kind of scaring everybody to death. We need to work on this. And Barnabas discipled him. So tonight, this is what I'd like to have you do. I'm going to pray, and I'd like all of you dads that are here, I'd like you to, and we're all going to do it, so it's okay. But you better start thinking right now. Some of you, you got a lot of thinking to do. I want you to think of something, we don't need 20. Just think of something wonderful. And I want you just to walk up to the members of your family and say, Greg, you do a great job in the bookstore and doing the reports. And I see, Reg, that you work with your parents in the bookstore, and that means that you are a very servant-hearted young man. And just go right down the line. Which one of you is a good speller? Oh, and you're a good speller, too. And just go right down the line and say something that, listen to the definition, praise them for something, celebrate with them, invoke God's blessing, and ask for God to bless your loved one. And when you get to your wife, why don't you think of some of the things you should have said on Valentine's Day and wish that you had and you forgot to? And then, when you get to those children, this might be the only time they remember their dad. Don't let them get to be 50 years old sitting in a staff meeting and someone says, did your dad ever say anything out loud to tell you how much he loved you and how wonderful you were? Can you imagine your children in 40 years scratching their head and saying, no, I don't think I ever remember my dad saying anything like that about me. So tonight would be a, you know, erase that bad possibility tonight by blessing your children. What's the last thing Jesus did before he left the earth? Do you remember? What was he doing? He was raining down on his disciples words of blessing. Now, he could have been saying, don't forget what I told you. Go into all the world. You guys, don't forget. You know, watch out for the devil. No, you know what he's saying? He's saying, my spirit's upon you, and you are going to accomplish. And he left, and they just went up like this, looking at him. And they were so excited, they didn't even cry that he was gone. They went into the temple, and it says that they were just rejoicing. Did you know when you get out of the presence of someone who in the Spirit of God and the power of God with the love of God blesses you, you go on your way. You're just going. It is such a privilege to be in this family, to have, you know what I mean? Okay, men, I'm going to pray. Start thinking. And some of you have little ones, but I want you to think about it and park on your wife for a while. A lot of those ladies, it's amazing that it's so uncommon for a man to say what he thinks. We think more than, it's one of my problems. Bonnie tells me all the time. She says, you didn't tell me that. You thought that. I said, no, I told you that. She says, no, you didn't tell me that. You thought that. And I said, but in my mind, I can remember the whole conversation. She said, but you didn't tell me that. You thought that. So say it. Say it to them. Okay, let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I pray that we would become those who are your servants, that we are like you, Lord Jesus. It's very special to remember that sight of blessings raining down on your precious disciples, that your parting words to them and the last memory they had of you was your gracious speaking of God's favor and the promise of your future blessing upon them. We will not always be with those we love, but I pray that they would remember, and remember specifically that we said how much we love them and how much we believe that you can do great things in their lives. And I pray that tonight would be the beginning of each man in each family blessing his family, and that it would start to stir up the whole family, and that every one of these precious women of God that are here tonight would have such a law of kindness on their tongue that though they have to correct and though they have to direct and admonish and rebuke at times, that primarily they would be the greatest encouragers in all the world, and that their children would remember them as the one that believed in them and loved them and showered down, like Jesus, words of blessing upon them. And then I pray that some children here tonight that have endured big people's service, that they would remember one thing, and that is that they can be a son or daughter of Barnabas too, a son or daughter of encouragement. They can also bless their parents. And I pray that all of us would give and receive the precious blessings and encouragement that you allow us to do. In the power of your Spirit, for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.